Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Pastor Jason Holloman.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. What a good day of celebration. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, wow, he's going to preach. It's 11:50. I know what time it is. You don't think I know what time it is? I know what time it is. That's why I've shortened my message from 50 minutes to 30. No. I am going to read one passage of Scripture, and we're going to enter our time of the Lord's Supper. Why do we do this? Why do we give as a church? Some people ask me that question all the time. It's actually unusual. There's a lot of churches that do not give, and so it's not an unusual thing because you give to the church, right? And so the church gives. It doesn't make any sense. We give to the church. The church does the work of ministry. The church budget is no different than a family budget. Every month when we're looking at receivables and expenditures and those kinds of things, and we're trying to build a building, and we're trying to consider the capital account, and we're trying to plan for all of these things. Every month that we give out of the budget, and this year our giving to missions is increasing by God's grace, that every time we look at that, it's one of those moments to make a statement, like, what do we do this for? Why are we doing this? We're a small church with a small staff, And listen, we are giving sacrificially as a church. We really are. It's a very large part of our budget is giving to these ministries. And Christy is exactly right. We're giving to ministries of vulnerable individuals. I mean, who is more vulnerable in today's culture than college students? And I'm not kidding. It's unbelievable. Who today is more vulnerable than those who are potentially subject to being terminated in utero? Who's more vulnerable in today's culture? And then you look at these pastors. In fact, even now, Kenny doesn't have the opportunity to share, but even now, one of the pastors on the screen just went through a significant, life-altering, never-be-the-same moment in his family. Who do you think they're calling to get care? They're calling Kenny. They're calling Lynn. And so even in this moment, you start to begin to look at this. Who among us is so vulnerable? And so in Prosper, Texas, we've got lots of problems. We do. I'm not bagging on it. I know we do. We have lots and lots of problems. We do. Real ones. Difficult things. But listen, man, when Steve Johnson and I went to Cuernavaca, Morelos, Mexico, it's a different level of problems. And when you see just the way in which families have gone from completely mobile and ambulatory to wheelchair bound, it's a different kind of vulnerability in this society. So that's why we give. That's why we give. That's why as a church, we give, because though there are significant things, for so many of us, we have an abundance of, an embarrassment of riches. Whether it be just being able to walk up a flight of stairs, or just being able to go to the local coffee shop and not be worried about unbelievable difficulty or whatever the thing might be. And I could literally go on, but I've already told you that I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to read our passage today. I'm just going to read the passage. It helps us center on why we do what we do, and then we'll enter our time of the Lord's Supper. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. I'm going to read all the way to the end of the chapter. It's powerful. Some people, when they talk about this passage, they don't start here, but it starts here in the passage. Why? Because in the passage, it's about worship. It's about why we do what we do. Why do we do what we do? And this is how it starts. It's not just about giving, because if it's just about giving, then it's compulsory. Hey, you've got to give. You've got to give. Well, that doesn't do anything. All it does is satisfy just a little bit of guilt. But if we connect it as Paul connects it here in Philippians, then what you do is you connect it to worship. You begin to worship. And as you worship, dollars be flying out of your pockets. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Now, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Whatever you have learned and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will fill you. Rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now, At length you have received your concern for me. And you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I can be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Notice this, probably the greatest missionary of the age, of all time, the greatest missionary of all time, here in this moment says, nobody supported me. To make it even worse, he said, even in Thessalonica, if you remember, this is Philippi, this is the Philippian church. Thessalonica had a massive church. And here he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, and even in Thessalonica, you sent help for me, for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, not that I sought this gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Verse 18, I received in full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift that you have sent, fragrant offering and a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. To God the Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Back to verse 12 as we conclude. What does it say? I have learned the secret. Well, do tell, Paul. What's the secret? Like, what is the secret that you're talking about? He's talking about the idea of contentment. But he connects this directly with the joy that we are looking for. He has found contentment in having nothing and having plenty. Do you see that around here? Do y'all see that? Do you see joys in nothing? Do you see joys? We see a lot of joy in plenty, don't we? We hear a lot about that. You know, you win the lottery or whatever the thing might be. See what it looks like in a couple of years. Those stories are tragic. No, he's saying that there is a secret. And what is that secret? The secret is we were meant to worship. That is what we were meant for. Our default setting is what? Is to worship. That is our default setting. And his secret, and the secret of the New Testament, and the secret that is of the kingdom, is that you are meant to worship, and how you spend your money, how you invest your money, is a direct reflection of what it is that we look for and invest in. If I was to say to you, hey, man, you want to do something new to your house? If you knew that you were going to move and you were going to go to buy another house. In fact, we've got a number of members in here transitioning in their homes. It's really fun because you'll watch them invest in their house. They'll take care of their yard and they'll take care of all of these things. It's really fun to watch. But some of these folks that are in transition, I'm like, hey, your yard's looking a little rough. And it's like, that ain't our house anymore. That's our house. That's for somebody else, right? How easy is it for us to invest in the things that we see our home in? How easy is it for us to invest in the places where our hearts are, where our lives are? How easy is it for us to invest and think about and dream about and plan for the places that are our home? Until we find another home and then it's like, forget that place. That's for somebody else to worry about. Do I replace the hot water heater? No, we do not. We just try to do whatever we can, cross our fingers to pass through inspection, and write it all the way through. Friends, what would it look like if we believed the secret of joy found in eternal investment? May the God of all comfort press on us, not compulsory, not bending your arm, but that you would see the greatest joy is investment in investments that can never go away, that can never lose interest. Investments that can never corrode where rust and moth destroy and thieves break in and steal, but an investment where literally we can give and it is better than gold. I mean, like Spanish like ships with gold from 1600s, there's nothing left when they pull up the wreckage except for what? Gold. Why? It's an enduring investment. And friends, investment in the kingdom of God is eternal. And our hearts are revealed in it. And so listen, some of you are like, oh, I wish I had money to give. Okay, give $1 and let that be a fragrance unto the Lord. There are people in the room that could give $100,000 and that not literally, they would never even feel that. There are people in the room that if they gave $5, it would be an unbelievable sacrifice. Let us all, by God's grace, be the $5 sacrifice. Let us be that. Let us pray that God would reveal our hearts, that he would minister to our hearts, and that we, like Paul, to this church, to Philippi, that we would just say, praise God. Praise God that we can invest in this way. Christy, thank you. Great job. Missions Committee, thank you. Missionaries, thank you. And we celebrate you. We're so excited that you're in town. We're thankful that you were able to get here. And I do get the opportunity to see the Cottles later this, or Heather, later this afternoon, because we'll be heading to that same wedding. And so I can't wait to hug Heather and for us to celebrate with them and bring our greetings from Lighthouse to them here a little bit later. But friends, make no mistake, the kingdom of God is advancing, but that kingdom is enthroned by a single king. And his name is Jesus Christ. Let us remember him. On the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, he gathers his disciples together. And he is a part of a larger Seder meal. And he takes the bread. And as he takes this bread, it's bread without leaven. And if that's confusing language to you, then come and be a part of our Seder meal just before. Easter, it's an absolute wonderful education in why we do what we do. It's an amazing thing. And so on the night that he is to be betrayed, he takes the bread, he breaks the bread, and he looks at his disciples and he says, this is my body broken for you. And he says to them and he says to us, take and eat. Let us remember the pierced body of Christ. Father, we thank you for the pierced body of Christ. And as you take the cup, and I'm so grateful for all the sounds of children. In fact, I every time we do the Lord's Supper and I hear the sounds of children, I literally in my heart giggle a little bit because I pray and hope that there is a church that is remembering the broken body and shed blood when they are actually able to hear and think and remember, and that they become the church that remembers when most of us are with the Lord, that they will carry on this truth of and this ordinance of the broken body and shed blood. I'm so thankful for the sounds of children during the Lord's Supper, genuinely so thankful. And in the same way, he takes the cup, he looks at his disciples, and if you remember, this would have been the cup of redemption. Again, come to our Seder. They would have heard this hundreds of times. They would have been taught this so many times. They would have experienced it at this point at least 30 times. And then he changes it. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. No longer looking to slaughter goats and no longer looking for animals to sacrifice, but Jesus himself is the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. This is the cup of the new covenant. And we will not share of it again until we drink it anew in the kingdom, where we will all celebrate the investment that we've made, where we will all celebrate and be clinging our glasses together in such an awesome way. We will remember the shed blood in the new heavens and new earth. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says to us, take and drink. Church, let us remember. Father, we are so grateful. We are so thankful. So grateful that even this morning, so many members are texting me and saying, oh, we're going to be on the road. We're going to watch you on the road. Or, oh, we're going to be in a hotel. We're going to watch you there. So many members saying, oh, I can't believe that I'm not going to be able to give money to Missions Sunday. And just to hear the folks say, hey, we're going to give. In fact, write me down for this. I'll put the check in the mail. Praise God that you've stirred our hearts. What a gift. What a gift that's true. And so, Father, would you compel us to give? Would you compel us to invest? Would you encourage our hearts? Would you, even now, of all the ministries that have been mentioned, would you just incline our ear towards and incline our hearts towards and put efforts towards gifts to one of these ministries? Thank you that we have this opportunity. May you be enthroned, Jesus. You are the King, and we celebrate you as such. And may this song and this time as we worship, may it be for the believer that is encouraged. May this be a time that we can worship you. And then for the believer that's overwhelmed and displaced and is walking through difficult times, would this be the song that we could walk up and be prayed for? Would you give us encouragement to be prayed for and cared for by one of these team members that is ready to pray? We pray and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.